Episode 7. Man, I will tell you one thing, man. There is no way that China has almost 2 billion people. I'm calling it right now. This is one of those things where I have my own conspiracy theory, I feel like. But I'm sure that other people have talked about this, but this is like one that's out in the open in plain sight that nobody talks about, is the population numbers. The census, right? Like, we always hear 7 billion people, 7 billion people, 8 billion people, 8 billion people on Earth, or something like that. There is not that many people on Earth. It's either, I don't think that there's more, but there is significantly less than 7 billion people. It's not, there's not 7 billion people on Earth. I'm telling you, there's not. They're lying, because that number is based on what all the governments in the world tell us, how many people they have. And China is for sure lying. And so just there, it's not 7 billion people. I'm assuming maybe there's between three and four billion people on Earth. But 7 billion people, no. There's 0% chance that's what's going on. 0% chance that's happening. Look, I'll focus on China. China says that they have, I think it's like a 1.7 billion people, something like that. Total fabrication, and it's a part of their military strategy. They're saying that to posture and to prove to the rest of the world that they are a force to be reckoned with, and that you cannot invade a country with 1.7 billion people. You can't. And they know that. The Chinese know that. And so they say that, oh, we have 1.7 billion people, and we have like a 10 million man army or something like that, and you cannot beat us just by the sheer force of our numbers. Dude, Mao killed like millions of baby girls like last century. There's no way that their population grew that much since then. I'm telling you. I would say that the Chinese population is probably around or less than the American population. And the thing is, like, this is a little racial, but that's just how Asians think about things. Like that's literally how Asians think, is, oh, just tell white man we have 2 billion people. Just tell white man that we have 10 million man army. That's like Asian persuasion 101, is that you tell a bold-faced lie about something that nobody can disprove. That's really government propaganda 101, is that if you can benefit, if a government or country can benefit from telling a lie that nobody can disprove, you will. There's a 100% chance that they will do that. The fact that no country on Earth can properly count their people, I think, is testament to that. If the U.S. cannot run their census properly and count their own people, what makes you think that Cameroon can do it or Uganda can do it? It's impossible. You cannot count the amount of people in your country. It cannot happen. They're all estimates, and they're way off. They are way off. I think, if anything, they're all inflated. It's way more than what we think. And it's too easy to lie, and there's too many benefits to lie about it, saying that we have this many people, we have this, like, you know, that many people. Some people are, like, if they are trying to push to kill white people in South Africa, what makes you think that they're not lying about the white population on Earth? What makes you think that, like, same thing with the Chinese, like, what makes you think that they won't lie about their population or anything like that, or like lie about the African population, saying that it's lower or than what it actually is? I don't believe it. I don't believe any of it, man. I'm telling you, this is one of those things where I never hear anybody talk about it, which is weird because to me, it is the most obvious bold-faced lie in our faces. It's similar to how like the bold-faced lie where people think that murders get solved. Murders, they don't get solved. Murders, that is a popular myth that people just believe because it makes them feel good. Murders do not get solved. I'm telling you, they don't. The murders that get solved are like you've heard the term the 48-hour thing window. The reason why there's a 48-hour window is because when somebody turns up dead, they either know immediately who did it or they don't. And it typically takes them about 48 hours to hunt the person down and arrest them. That's why there's a 48-hour window, is because that's how long it takes for them to find the person and then arrest them. It's not because the evidence will just like evaporate or it disappears after 2 days. And then they make all these TV shows about crime. Like haven't you, I know that it's like exciting, like the crime, like the murder and stuff like that in like a sick way, that people are fascinated by it, but they're making these TV shows because they're a hit. And also because it's to make us think that murders get solved, like that there's this thorough investigation that everyone care, which I'm sure I know that there's a lot of police officers and investigators that care, but they're almost never successful. They think that there's this big investigation that where there's DNA testing, they check the fingerprints on the car windows and all this crazy stuff. Like, what was his motive? Let's connect the dots. That only happens if like somebody rich turns up dead and then they use their funds to fund an investigation. If somebody's poor and they get killed and their bank account, it there's not a lot in there, there's nothing to fund the investigation. Like a lot of that money like goes to the family, but if you kill someone in a rich family, that's when the DNA and the saliva testing and the body fluid testing thing comes into play. That's what those TV shows are about, typically. Haven't you ever wondered why I'm just now like thinking about this now. Haven't you ever wondered why these murder mystery TV shows and stories, JonBenet Ramsey, that thing on Netflix, like Making a Murder thing, like I haven't seen that, but I'm pretty sure that it's like most of these are white middle class, or seriously, not even white, just rich middle class or upper middle class families. That someone in their family is killed, or somebody in their family kills someone else in the family, and there's this huge investigation. The O.J. Simpson thing, where they like talk about the glove, dude. That guy was rich as a motherfucker. That's why he got off, is because he was rich. Dude, murders do not get solved. They don't. There's no justice. I'm telling you, there's no justice. If there is, it is rare. The murder mystery crime TV shows, the murder porn, as South Park calls it, is either the like 1 or 2% of murders that actually get investigated, and they just hit the jackpot and they just broadcast it to the world to just make themselves seem like they're doing their job, or somebody rich dies and they use the money to fund an investigation. And the sad truth is that somebody has to be arrested with that, because if you're putting $1 million, $2 million into funding a big investigation, you're going to want a return. Think about this, but this is a sick way to think about this, but you want to have a return on your investment. If you're investing all this money into DNA samples and whatever, saliva, semen samples, the fingerprints, CCTV cameras at the gas station that he went to before he murdered this girl, whatever happened, they want a return on that investment. So somebody's going to get arrested. When there's that much money involved, somebody's either getting off or somebody's either or is either getting arrested and going to jail forever. And that's the sick world we live in, man. And I want to just take these people and strangle them to death. Look, look, don't kill people. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Don't kill people. I don't want to make you feel scared or to freak you out, but this is the truth, man. This is the truth. I hate it, man. I hate it. But yeah, I just thought of that. Like, dude, every single one of these murder mystery shows is about rich people getting killed. Because it takes a lot of money for DNA samples and for fingerprint samples. Dude, isn't that sick? Isn't that crazy? There should be like minimal investigation. Thing is, there's minimal, but they don't bring out like all the crazy stuff. They don't go through cameras. They don't give you a chance, man. They don't give you a chance unless you pay for it. You have to pay for it, man. Isn't that crazy? Dude, that's not justice. That's not justice at all. That's not built off of love and concern for your fellow human beings. That's just, I mean, I get it. Like it's like the free healthcare thing. You know, I don't want to see anybody die, but then again, you can't leave it wide open to be abused. You can't leave, you can't let people just show up and go, oh, well, I'm sick. Pay for my illness. And it's like, dude, I'm sorry you're sick, but I mean, I can't pay all that money in taxes just because you're sick, man. I'm sorry. Like that sucks. I'm really sorry for you. Thing is, with the healthcare thing, it doesn't have to be like a black and white thing. Like I get the socialism thing as far as like crazy surgeries. But the thing is, once you do that, prices are going to go up even more. A big reason why our healthcare is so expensive isn't because of like capitalism or it has a little bit to do with that. A lot of it is government regulations that just don't work. The government regulation thing, it either has to be like completely, like most of it has to be gotten rid of. And then you set up things where basically a company goes out of business if more than like a few people die from a drug that was dosed properly and all that. You have to make it like that and basically separate it so that for each pill, Abilify or like whatever pills that are out now to fix things that shouldn't even be there in the first place. It's mostly caused by diet. Most of these mental health problems that people have are it's caused by diet and sleep. It's not a genetic thing. One pill is one company. So but you can't have that either, because in order to fund these pharmaceutical drugs, it takes billions of dollars. It takes a lot of money. So you can't separate it like that. You still need to have corporations, but maybe within that corporation, it's like a separate entity instead of the corporation, inside of the corporation that represents one pill. And there's government regulations in place where if people even commit suicide because of this pill, more than just a few, and it becomes like a big thing, basically that part of the corporation completely goes under and they lose all of that money. And so there is an enormous amount of incentive to create a drug that is that won't make people commit suicide, like Chantix, which is like for weak people that can't quit smoking. And so they take a pill so that every time they have nicotine in their system, it makes him sick, which is so, how can you take Chantix, something that makes you sick when you drink, when you smoke, and call yourself a strong person? Like, you are fucking weak. That is weakness. You are a fucking loser if you take that shit. You can't quit. I know it's hard, but you can't do anything else. You have to take a pill to quit something. I know that addiction is like rampant. If you've been smoking for 30 years and you've tried everything, then I don't think you tried hard enough, but whatever, like if you want to do that, but man, people kill themselves off those pills. If you introduce a chemical like nicotine into your body and there's something already inside you that counteracts that, that doesn't make you feel good, dude, it's doing other things to you. Like you're fucking up your brain chemistry. You're fucking up your brain's ability to react properly to a chemical. Okay. And it's not just a nicotine, dude. It's the cigarettes. Dude, take up vaping before you take Chantix, dude. People commit suicide off of that shit. And they're like perpetually depressed. Dude, there's no way that the effects of some of those like SSRIs and like the ADHD, the Chantix, stuff like that, there is no way that there is not a permanent effect on people's minds and brains. There is no way. It's impossible for a child to take ADHD medication instead of anything else. Their brain is forming, man. People are like, look at what's that guy's name from the from Black Flag? Henry Rollins. He's the singer for Black Flag. I saw him on the Rogan Experience. Dude, that guy is, he was one of the first kids to be put on Ritalin as like a test subject, which is sick in its own right. Dude, he's fucked up. He is mentally ill. Like, I think it made him mentally ill. You're fucking up a child's developing brain. Like, you're screwing up their brain chemistry. Wait, don't put them on a pill because you can't parent, you loser. Don't take a pill because you can't quit smoking, you weak loser. Get over yourself. You can't quit smoking, so you have to take a pill, loser. You weak-minded fuck. You can't parent and take care of your kid and take your kid out of school because your kid is in an unnatural environment under fluorescent lights with concrete walls with teachers that are annoyed by them, learning a bunch of government propaganda. And so because your child is in this unnatural environment, he wants to go off and do something else and do something actually exciting because he's curious about the world. And so you take this pure child, this innocent child, and you fuck him up permanently. You turn him into a mentally ill patient, an institutionalized mentally ill patient, because you're too fucking lazy to be a parent and talk to your kid. And maybe, you know what, kid? When you're at school, I don't give a shit. You tell your teacher, I'm not fucking doing this. I don't understand. Like, are these teachers not parents? I'm not a parent, but are these teachers not connected with what's going on? Don't they think it's weird what they're doing, separating children from their parents for hours a day, from the time that they're like six or seven up until they're an adult? 1 second. Do they not think that's weird? That is so fucking weird. I remember I was kindergarten. I was in kindergarten, so I must have been like seven. No, I wasn't seven. I was like six. 5 or 6 years old. I remember this. I remember the panic and the fear of the first time being separated from my family and going to school. Like that's when I started to go to school. And I just remember just the separation anxiety and just the inner panic of being a six-year-old little boy being separated from his mom and dad for the first time for hours a day. I cried all day. And I saw other kids do it too. And I told the other kids, I miss my mom and dad. I miss my mom and dad. And they said, yeah, me too. Dude, every kid goes through that. We have like a population of people that have like in their childhood, they experience serious separation anxiety, which seems like it's not a big deal because we eventually became used to it. But all we did was just become used to a traumatic event. That's all that is. So are the children raised by their parents or are they raised by the state, right? Because this curriculum, who's controlling what is in the curriculum? Because like I said earlier, if a government can benefit from a lie, there's a 100% chance that they will lie. 100% chance. They will not leave it on the table. Wars are started by lies and wars are prevented by lies. And they're ended by lies too. And after you win a war, you immediately start lying about the side that lost. That's why I don't believe anything about Genghis Khan. I don't believe any of it. Any of it. Most of history, and this ties in with the indoctrination of children by state-run schools. They should all, which by the way, they should all be charter schools. Every school in America should be a private school that you have to pay for, and then you get your most of your property tax money back, because your property taxes are what pay for the school. Your property, so that's how it. Your property taxes would be way lower, and it would actually be cheaper just to pay out of pocket for a private school and having like maybe one public school in the county, and you have to opt in to pay more taxes. That's how it should be, or something like that. But what was my point? These children are learning mostly war propaganda. Children should not be learning history at all. None of it. They should not be learning science. Most of it is wrong. Most of it is war propaganda. Most of history is lies. And you need a perspective on the world in order to understand history, because things like colonizing the United States, things that happen in war, World War II, just really, really, really complex eras of human history they're complex. They're very hard to understand. They require in-depth research and a perspective on human behavior, which 10-year-olds do not have. Children don't have any perspective on the world. And so why they're learning history is just beyond me. Like, they don't understand, because thing is, I don't even think that children believe like anything that's taught in history. Like, they don't, I'm sure that they download it, but they're not like going home and thinking about the pilgrims. They're just like, oh, the pilgrims. It's like how they see the pilgrims are literally like a cartoon character in a TV show. You cannot explain to them what people throughout history actually are. So, and the science thing, children shouldn't be learning science because they don't understand. Like these are concepts that, like cells, like, why are you teaching? Like, I kind of get high school, like you're preparing them for possibly college, which is another ripoff, but like you're preparing them, or you're teaching them things that aren't helpful. Like, that doesn't make you a better person. And one second. And basically I think that this is the biggest point out of this whole thing. As far as the educating of small children, children when they're growing up, they're forming an operating system like Windows in their mind. And what this is that this operating system in their brain, it forms their, not necessarily their thoughts and their ideas, but it forms their whole world perspective, their principles. This is their foundation of forming more complex thoughts and ideas. And so the operating system, this mental psychological foundation that children are forming during their upbringing has been hijacked. It took it away from, like, it's literally what religion was made for. Religion was made as in Christianity, the Hindus, the everything. All of the religions is an operating system that you download into the young mind. And so they see the world through this perspective, and it creates a mentally healthy human being. And that's been hijacked. And that's been replaced by scientific ideas, which are almost all wrong in some aspect. It's been replaced by, and that like makes people too rational, too scientifically minded. Like, I see that a lot, where like the average person now, like they have zero sense of humor, no sense of humor. They have no character. They are not warm and fuzzy mammals. They're like cold, scientific, robotic reptiles. And that's what replacing the religious operating system with science does. It turns people into cold, calculated reptiles with no sense of humor. And that's what a lot of kids that I meet at school are like. You replace them, you also inject historical propaganda, and it makes people like into the, like, where they see the world only through the lenses of race and gender and like all of these crazy things that are really new. Like the racial thing is relatively new. Racism is a very new word, and it's not very common throughout history. Like, you take, like, I know that people separate each other naturally by their color. Like, you, like in high school, like in my high school, the black kids hung out in the cafeteria and the white kids hung out in the lobby. And that's just how things were. Like, nobody planned that out. It's just, we naturally, you know, did that. And so what's happening is that you're separating the children, you're giving them separation anxiety, which is horrible and very, very sad. And because I experienced it and I remember it vividly, and it was traumatic, like being a 6-year-old, being separated by your mom for hours a day. Like, I was crying. I was like, I just want to go home with my mom. And you're replacing the human operating system with things that aren't real, because science, I don't care what anybody says, man. Science does not have any principles. It's not built on ethics. Any ethics that it has, it's built on religious, spiritual ethics. There's no looking through a telescope and discovering truth and discovering honor and respect. That's not a part of that. It's something that is like, that's supposed to resonate in you. Because when you're a human being, we all have this intuition, this sixth sense inside of us. And I think I said this yesterday, but human beings, we have a sixth sense for spotting the truth. We just know. We just know. And it doesn't take a knowledge base to find out what the truth is. When you find out, like, when I thought about the population lying, China lying about their population, America lying about their population, that it can't be proven, but I know that's the truth, because it just, because I've become accustomed to spotting it. I'm almost out of time. I have 30 seconds left. Thank you for listening so much. I'm getting better and better at this. Wow. 30 minutes just flew by. I got to go. All right, I have like 10 seconds left. Goodbye. Episode 7. Episode 8 tomorrow.